And as we lie there, my fear begins to reach new levels. I can't take not knowing what the next day will bring. The uncertainty is sawing me in two. The room is dark. A flickering candle burns on the window ledge a few feet away. I take a deep breath, which is to say, as deep a breath as I can take.
"Are you okay?"
Sarah asks. I wrap my arms around her. "I miss you," I say.
"You miss me? But I'm right here."
That's the worst way to miss somebody. When they're right beside you, and you miss them anyway.
"You're talking crazy."
She reaches up and pulls my face to hers and kisses me. Her soft lips on mine. I don't want her to stop. I don't ever want her to stop kissing me. As long as she is, then everything is fine. Everything is right. I would stay in this room forever if I could. The world can pass by without me. Without us. Just as long as we can stay here, together, in each other's arms. "Tomorrow," I say. She looks up at me.
"Tomorrow what?"
I shake my head. "I don't really know," I say. "I guess I'm just scared." She flashes a confused look at me.
"Scared of what?"
"I don't know," I say. "Just scared." When Henri and I get home after dropping her off, I go back into my bedroom and lie in the same spot where she was. I can still smell her on my bed. I won't sleep tonight. I won't even try. I pace the room. When Henri goes to bed, I walk out and sit at the kitchen table and write under candlelight. I write about Lorien, about Florida, about the things that I've seen when our training first began. The war, the animals, childhood images. I hope for some sort of cathartic release, but there isn't one. It only makes me sadder. When my hand cramps, I walk out of the house and stand on the porch. The cold air helps ease the pain of breathing. The moon is nearly full, a side of it ever so subtly shaved away. Sunrise is 2 hours away. And with that sunrise comes a new day, and the news of the weekend. The paper falls on our doorstep at 6, sometimes 6:30. I'll already be at the school by the time it arrives, and if I'm in the news, I refuse to leave without seeing Sarah again, without saying goodbye to Sam. I walk into the house, change clothes, and pack my bag. I tiptoe back through and quietly close the door behind me. I take 3 steps on the porch when I hear a scratching at the door. I turn around and open it, and Bernie Kosar comes trotting out. "Okay," I think. "Let us go together." We walk, stopping often, standing and listening to the silence. The night is dark, but after a while, a pale glow grows in the eastern sky just as we enter the school grounds. There are no cars in the lot, and all the lights are off inside. At the very front of the school, in front of the pirate mural, sits a large rock that has been painted by previous graduating classes. I sit on it. Bernie Kosar lies in the grass a few feet away from me. I'm there for half an hour before the first vehicle arrives, a van, and I assume it's Hobbs, the janitor, arriving early to get the school in order. But I'm wrong. The van pulls up to the front doors, and the driver gets out and leaves it idling. He's carrying a stack of newspapers bound by wire. We nod at each other, and he drops the stack by the door and then drives off. I stay on the rock. I glance contemptuously at the papers. In my mind, I'm hurling curses at them, threatening them to deliver the bad news I'm terrified of. I wasn't in that house on Saturday, I say out loud, and as soon as I do, I feel stupid. Then I look away, sigh, and jump off the rock. Well, I say to Bernie Kosar, this is it, for good or bad. He opens his eyes briefly, then closes them and resumes his nap on the cold ground. I tear the binding away and lift the top paper. The story has made the front page. At the very top is a picture of the burned rubble taken the next morning at dawn. There is a gothic, foreboding feel to it. Blackened ash is forefront to naked trees and frost-covered grass. I read the headline. James House Goes Up in Smoke. I hold my breath. A miserable feeling centered in my gut as though horrible news is about to find me. I race through the article. I don't read it, only look for my name. I reach the end. I blink my eyes and shake my head to rid myself of the cobwebs. A cautious smile forms. Then I scan through it again. No way, I say. Bernie Kosar, my name isn't here. He pays me no attention. I run across the grass and jump back on the rock. My name isn't here! I yell again, this time as loudly as I can. I sit back down and read the story. The headline is a play on Cheech and Chong's Up in Smoke, which is apparently a movie about drugs. What the police believe started the blaze was a marijuana joint being smoked in the basement. How that information was discovered, I have no idea, especially because it is so wrong. The article itself is callous and mean, almost an attack on the James family. I didn't like the reporter. It's apparent that he doesn't like the Jameses. Who knows why? I sit on the rock and read the article three times before the first person arrives to unlock the doors. I can't stop smiling. I'm staying in Ohio. In paradise. The town name doesn't seem so foolish to me anymore. Through my excitement, I feel as though I'm overlooking something, that I've forgotten a key component. But I'm so happy that I don't care. What harm can come now? My name isn't in the article. I didn't run into that house. The proof is right here, in my hands. Nobody can say otherwise. What are you so happy about? Sam asks in astronomy class. I haven't stopped smiling. Didn't you read the paper this morning? He nods. Sam, I wasn't in it. I don't have to leave. Why would they put you in the paper? He asks. I'm dumbfounded. I open my mouth to argue with him, but just then Sarah walks into the room. She comes sauntering up the aisle. Hey, gorgeous, I say. She bends down and kisses me on the cheek, something I'll never take for granted. Somebody's in a happy mood today, she says. Happy to see you, I say. Nervous about your driver's test? Maybe a little. Just can't wait until it's over. She sits down beside me. This is my day, I think. This is where I want to be, and this is where I am. Sarah on one side, Sam on the other. I go to class as I've done all the other days. I sit with Sam at lunch. We don't talk about the fire. We must be the only two in the whole school not talking about it. The same story over and over. I never hear my name spoken once. As I expected, Mark isn't in school. A rumor spreads that he and several of the others will be suspended for the theory the paper has spouted. I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know if I care. By the time Sarah and I enter the kitchen for 8th period home ec, my certainty that I'm safe has taken a firm hold. Such a strong certainty that I'm confident I must be wrong, that something has been overlooked. The doubt has been creeping up throughout the day, but I've been quick to push it back down. We make tapioca pudding. An easy day. In the middle of class, the kitchen door opens. It's the hall monitor. I look at him, and I know immediately